Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the region's only locally produced public affairs program. Every Saturday at this time, Bedford County Speaks introduces community leaders, interesting topics, and people making a difference in Bedford County. Bedford County Speaks is presented exclusively by News Talk 1310 WBFD. Now, here's your host, Lloyd Broach.
Thank you, Matt DeFazio, and good morning to you. Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the weekly public affairs program of News Talk 1310 WBFD. Today's program is presented by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. And by Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day. I'll return shortly with today's guest, Bill B. Wise, and we're going to explain that to you, from Somerset Trust, when Bedford County Speaks continues.
This is Dave Cubison of the Bedford County Department of Emergency Services. Listen for Bedford County Speaks with Lloyd Roach, Saturdays at 8:30 a.m. right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD.
At Homewood at Springhouse Estates, every day is Independence Day. Executive Director Mary Grattan says assisted living is on the way.
Where you come in, there'll be nursing that will be there. They'll help you with medication, dressing, bathing. There'll be a breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Our main restaurant, the cafe, will be open for evening meals as well.
Call Homewood at Springhouse Estates today and see what's new at 623-0349. That's Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day.
Sometime back, they did a survey and they found that lots of people who lived within a few miles of the Liberty Bell or the Statue of Liberty never visited either place. That happens around here, too. Just after the start of the French and Indian War, Bedford County became the gateway to the West with the opening of the Forbes Road, which we now call Route 30. In 1794, President George Washington had to come here to quell the Whiskey Rebellion. By 1913, the first transcontinental road for motor cars, the Lincoln Highway, was dedicated here, and the legendary Bedford Springs Resort still welcomes people from all over the world. With this kind of legacy, why keep it a secret? Spread the word about Bedford County, the history, the charm, and the regal Alleghenies. Bedford County, America's open door to the West.
This is Nelson Farrow of Hospitality Spring Farm. Let's head back to Bedford County Speaks, right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD.
This bank is really neat. I learned for the first time about this bank just a few weeks ago, and my guest, B. Wise, is the Vice President Commercial Loan Officer. That's right, isn't it?
Correct.
That right? Okay. I want to talk to him because I wanted to learn more about this bank. And I thought that Somerset, because I'm new here, and I'm telling you this all the time when I talk to you, I know, but I'm learning new things about Bedford County. I thought Somerset Bank had like a branch in Somerset, like maybe one in Shelbsburg or someplace, and maybe one in Everett. And I thought maybe they had two or three branches, a nice little bank. And then I learned they're like this zillion-dollar bank. They have all these assets. They have 30 locations. They've been around since the beginning. And B, this is what I want to talk to you about before we start talking about what you actually do. I'd like to learn a little bit about the history of this thing. Your marketing director, who's a genius, Roberta Lohr, sent me this wonderful summary of your history. And this thing goes back to the Civil War. I mean, this is astonishing. Mm-hmm. I had no idea this bank was like that.
Yeah, we were formed in 1889, initially as First National Bank of Somerset. Back in 1900, they formed Somerset Trust.
Yeah.
Okay. The same fella who formed First National Bank of Somerset, his son, George Skull, formed Somerset Trust. And the reason they formed Somerset Trust is they wanted trust services. And with the national banks, at that point, it was they frowned upon
that. Yeah, regulations are funny then. They had savings and loan separations that time, too. And when I first read that, when Roberta sent that to me, I thought, oh, they just wanted to be piggy. They wanted to have a trust company and a bank in the same town. But as you correctly pointed out, it was really a regulatory thing that they would actually have a separate company. What I find particularly interesting was that they opened this bank at a time when it really wasn't a good time to open anything. I mean, the country had just come out of the Civil War. By 1889, the country was starting to come back. But these are pretty courageous guys. And I'll bet Somerset wasn't that big a place in 1889.
No.
But they had some coal going on. They had a train coming in.
Yeah.
And to start a major financial institution like that,
yes,
with your family and private investors, mm-hmm, is quite a accomplishment.
And actually to do it two times within 11 years.
Yeah. So out of that growth, I guess, came the Somerset Trust, which we know today.
Yeah, it was. They merged First National of Somerset and Somerset Trust. They merged the two banks in 1953.
Yeah.
What's interesting is going back to 1900.
I mean, you're not even that old, are you?
But what was very interesting is George Scull served as president of both institutions for a period of time, right, until his death in 1935. But that, I find that quite interesting.
And these guys made it through the Depression when many banks didn't do.
Correct.
They hung on, and and I read in Roberta's account that the bank during the Depression had like a couple of bad weeks, but they weren't one of the banks that were closed. They weren't one of the banks that they survived after the bank holiday.
Correct.
And all of that. So that shows it's a pretty solid institution to live that long.
Yep.
I mean, with all the bank mergers we have today, I mean, no one can even keep track of the name of their bank, much less who ran it.
What makes Somerset Trust unique as well is the employees are a major stockholder in the bank.
Is that so?
Yes. Yes.
So how does that work? How does the employee work?
Through an ESOP plan.
So you have to work at a certain amount of time before you get into that? Is that how it works?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a year you have to be here, and then you're eligible to become
involved in that plan. So if you're here for a while, you can not only build your career, but you can build some equity in the bank.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah, see, that's got to give them a lot of incentive, I would think.
Yes.
That's not some guy that's going to pay $11 an hour and say, have a nice day. You know, it's going to be
correct.
This is good. Our guest that is telling all of this is B. Wise, and he is the vice president and new commercial loan officer here at Somerset. You are an interesting fellow. You are a native of the Bedford County region.
Yes.
And before we went on the air this morning, you were telling me you worked in a lot of places. Everett, McConnellsville, what are you, like Route 30 or something?
Yeah. Well, I started my career with a Beneficial Consumer Discount Company in Bedford. And basically, that's where you learn to put her out and get her back. It's a different type of experience. And I worked with
them. And those are short-term loans,
yes,
right?
These are
loans people need.
Just consumer loans, short-term.
Like money for Christmas, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And I worked for them right out of college in 89 to 91. Then I went to work for First National Bank of Everett. And they eventually got bought out by Susquehanna Bank in 98. And they still operated under their own flag with the holding company being out of Lititz.
Mm-hmm.
But in about, I think it was 04, 05, they dissolved the flags and all became Susquehanna Bank. That was about the time that I went to McConnellsburg to work for First National Bank of McConnellsburg as a business development officer and commercial lender. And I was there about 6 months, and then that bank got bought out by First National Bank of Greencastle.
In Pennsylvania?
Yes.
Out in 81. Okay.
Yeah.
Greencastle.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
And about that time, I'd been down there probably about a year and a half. They were forming Hometown Bank in Bedford, and I came back to work for Hometown, and I was with them for 11 years, and now I find myself here at Somerset Trust.
Well, this is super. I think it sounds like a really great career move for you. It's obviously a bigger outfit. You've got are you concentrating here in Bedford, or do you have responsibilities at other branches, or how's that work for you?
I'll be working out of the Bedford office, or am working out of the Bedford office now, and we really don't have any territories. We can go
really
where the business takes us. Yes.
Oh, so you can make a loan in Altoona if you want to.
Absolutely.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yep.
Our guest is B. Wise. B is the Vice President and Commercial Loan Officer, as you've heard, from Somerset Trust. And Somerset Trust has always been very gracious to me. One of the first people I met was Roberta at Somerset Trust. I haven't met her physically. I met her on the phone a couple of times because we had some other stuff that we were doing with this radio program, and she's been very, very gracious. And it was great for her to send me this great history of your company. And going back to history, one thing that really stuck out at me was the family connection that has stayed with the bank all these years.
Yes.
There is still a Scull, I guess, and a Cox, which is, I guess,
Cook.
Cook, rather, son or daughter of Scull,
Well, Henry, our president.
Bank.
Yeah, our president right now, Henry, he's the great grandson of Edward Skull, the founder.
So if you're in the Skull or Cook family, I guess you have to figure you're going to end up in the bank business pretty soon or later.
yes. And there's still, several of the president. Henry serves as the chairman of the board and the CEO. His brother, Jeff, is president.
I see. Gotcha. And that's your boss, right?
Yes. Jeff, and there's Andy who works at the bank as well. And Peter, who does consulting. So it's...
Boy, that's
unique.
It's a great story because I think that one of the things that I've heard from people when they're shopping for banks is, and all banks everywhere say this, they say, we'll give you personal service. Well, it's pretty tough to give you personal service when your boss is 800 miles away, And here, you can really make good on that promise. Because if you don't like the way we do, you can call the guy that owns the joint. And because you all own the joint. Yeah, that's really... a nice aspect about this.
Yes,
whole setup.
Yes, it is. And everybody here is very easy to work with. They stress customer service. They stress on a commercial loan, figure out how to do the loan, not how not to do the loan. And we try to be very accommodating as much as we can be.
Are you pretty fast with your turnarounds?
Yes.
Because that's often a problem.
Yeah, we can get a hold of if we have something above certain lending authorities, we can do a call around to the board of directors to get things.
Get it done. Yeah. And at least know. I think a lot of borrowers, it's not so much, sure, they'd like to have the loan, but they'd also like to know. I've had the experience where I get to wait a long time before I hear something.
Well,
and that's as annoying as a no. Yeah, it's worse.
To a customer, that's the most important thing they probably have going at that time in their lifetime when you're trying to borrow money for either to buy a house or business or whatever. So, yes, we try to get things turned around as quickly as we can. And
one of the things I noticed in Roberta's piece here was just fascinating to me was that you guys are one of the first ones to have a drive-through. They call it an auto bank. And it was 1959. That's prehistoric for a drive-through. I didn't even know banks had them then.
Yeah.
So you're still pretty much on the cutting edge with new things these days.
Yes. Technology-wise, with our mobile banking, and the other things, that's one thing. They want to the younger generation. We want to be able to accommodate them, but the older customer clientele too.
Yeah.
Going to the bank is an event for a lot of people, especially in Bedford. They like it. It's a meeting place.
Sure.
So you got to embrace the new technology while bringing the past along as well.
I met a guy some years ago who told me they're all going to be on the internet. He said by 2012, there aren't going to be many banks left. Everybody's going to be doing it on their iPhones or something. didn't work.
No. There'll be a certain percentage of people, but there's still people that like to go to the bank too.
Well, I think it's nice to have both. I mean, you have internet banking here, I assume, and so I can do that if I want. But if I want to come in and see a real guy with a red shirt like you have, I can do that too. So that's good. Our guest is B. Wise, and when we come back, we're going to learn a little bit about what it's like in the heady days of 2018 to make a commercial loan and maybe even how to get one. He's going to help us with that as Bedford County Speaks continues.
Hello, I'm Mark Thomas. We hope you're enjoying this week's Bedford County Speaks. We're pleased to sponsor this community effort every week. Sometimes people ask us how we do business. Well, it's simple. When a family firm like us has been around for over 100 years, you learn a lot. For example, we know you don't care for haggling, so instead, we discount our vehicles up front to remove all the guessing. We also pay our sales consultants on volume rather than on the price of the car or truck. That way, everyone works to get you the vehicle you want instead of the one we may want to sell you. Thomas Chevrolet Subaru offers transparent financing with protection options to fit your budget. In addition, when you buy a car or truck from us, you get free state inspections for life, free car washes for life, and great warranties, which remove all the worry. And we'll even buy your trade for cash. So stop by our showroom today and check out our beautiful supply of Chevrolet cars, tough Chevy trucks, and those fabulous worry-free Subarus. That's the Thomas Promise. To learn more, visit us on Route 220 or thomaschevrolet.com.
This is Ron Morgan of the Broad Top Area Coal Miners Historical Society, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks over News Talk 1310 WBFD.
Now, let's head back to Lloyd Roach and Bedford County Speaks.
And our guest today is B. Wise. I am in his beautiful, luxurious office here at the Somerset Trust, right on 30, next to the Save-A-Lot. Or I guess the Save-A-Lot should say they're next to Somerset Trust. It all depends on your point of view. But B., thank you very much. You've been very gracious to have me today, and I've really enjoyed talking with you.
Well, thank you for being here.
I want to talk a little bit about what it's like to get a loan. I'm not speaking to the people who already have commercial loans or have had them and get them for expansion and so forth. I want to kind of address somebody that maybe wants to start their own business. And what would you advise someone before they go charging in here? You know, what kind of ducks should they have in a row before they come in so that they can have better success with people like you?
The biggest thing that someone who wants to do a startup business can do is write a good business plan.
Really?
Yes. It causes people to sit down and think of the things that they may have not thought out entirely. A lot of people that I've dealt with have dealt through St. Francis. They'll help people put business plans together. Mm-hmm. They do a very nice job. But yeah, you sit down, you think things out, you look at market information, you look at your projections, income, P&L
sure.
projections. But yeah, the business plan is where it's gonna have to start.
You know, it's interesting you mention this because early in my career, I sold a lot of advertising, radio advertising, to smaller retailers. And I remember, this is in the 70s, going in to see a motorcycle store in central Pennsylvania, as a matter of fact. And he had a darn nice store. Japanese motorcycles were becoming very popular then, you know, Kawasaki and that kind of thing. And I got in there, and I wanted, of course, get him on the air, get him advertised on the station. And I said, "Where's your sign?" And he said, "Oh, I've been able to afford a sign." He said, "We're going to be working on that later." And I remember saying to him, "You got to get a sign." I said, "Stop yep. what you're doing." I said, "Stop playing with the motorcycles. Go and get a sign. I don't care if you have to borrow money to get it, but get a sign. Because if you don't have a sign, people aren't going to know where you are. And if they don't know where you are, they're not coming in here." Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, now that if that isn't a reflection of a business plan, I don't know what is. You know,
exactly.
It's knowing what you need in advance. Does that sound like a kind yes. of thing should be on your business plan?
Yes.
How big is
yes.
your sign going to be? Can yeah. you get a sign?
Yeah. How are you going to market your
business?
Is there
zoning against a sign? Things yeah. like that. How are you going to market your business? Because otherwise, you could be the greatest motorcycle guy in the world, but if they don't know you're there.
Exactly.
And I told him I refused to let him on the radio until he got a sign. So are those the kinds of things?
Yes, that marketing people... and you know, also sitting down and doing P&L projections and all that, you're gonna determine exactly how much money you're gonna need.
Yeah.
Because there's, you know, initial startup costs, there's additional working capital. So yeah,
I guess by doing the plan whether or not the whole thing will even work.
Exactly.
Yeah, yes. You might have had a great idea to start a hula hoop store, but maybe the market isn't as good.
Right.
Or something.
And you're gonna
Does that help you do that?
Yeah. You're gonna see how feasible your plan really is, or your idea, your business idea. So
can you help them with that too? And you say, you know, hula hoops aren't doing as well as they used to, whatever.
Yeah, bankers are pessimists by nature, yeah. I assume. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if someone comes in and has something that's really, you may want to just kind of let them know up front that, you know, you don't really think an idea like that may be the best at that time, but
right.
There's things that people come to you with that surprise you too. That, you know, wow, that yeah. really would do something.
But, well, I think too that I remember my loan officer used to tell me, "I'm not your partner," and I thought that was pretty good advice. Little, at the time I thought it was kind of cruel, but I knew what he meant. He meant was, "I'm not helping you run your business. I'm only providing the financing." So you're.
But in essence, we are partners because
mm-hmm, right.
we're the ones putting the money into your
right.
ideas.
I understand.
So. Yes.
But you know what I mean. I meant
yeah.
partner in the sense that where you're directly involved in the management decisions.
Correct.
I wouldn't think a bank wants to do that. What they really want to do is just have some assurances they're going to get paid back on time.
Correct.
And so you can go make them another loan someday. You know,
yeah.
That is hopefully how that relationship yeah. grows, isn't it?
But part of being a banker, too, is when you sit down with your customers, it's just, you know, whether it's a startup or not.
Right.
They're going to bounce ideas off of you. you're kind of a kind of a consultant, I guess, to throw ideas off of. I've had customers do that. What do you think of this? What do you think of that?
And, well, as I said to you before we went on the air this morning, I feel that we're on the cusp of a very good time economically. And the reason I say that is that I have a friend of mine who I met recently who told me he's going to add a new building to his business. And that to me is a very good sign of economic growth. It's when someone who's already in business, had been in business a long time, and all of a sudden they decided to jump, buy some land, open another building, and expand the output of their product.
Yes.
That's a good sign, isn't it?
Yeah, they're either going to put employees or inventory in that building.
Sure, right, and both, maybe. Yeah. So that would be a good indicator for you, wouldn't it?
Yes.
That this is going to be a good deal because they're already successful what they do, good credit, all that stuff, but they're going to do something bigger now.
Yes, and that has to do with, you know, their comfort zone. Mm-hmm. People are starting to feel more comfortable with, you know, with the what's going on with the taxes, with, you know, the economy. So there's a comfort zone. People feel now's the time.
Earlier we talked about the four C's. I learned this from my first loan officer 35 years ago. And there are four of them. And I'll tell you the ones I know. You can fill in the ones that you know. I have credit, collateral, character, and what's the fourth one?
Capacity.
So tell me about the four C's and why is that important?
Well, you know, character is a main, you know, when you're dealing with someone, you want to know that they're being straightforward with you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they have integrity. So character is very important when, you know, you're lending money to someone. And the character issue can make up for shortfalls in the other three.
Right.
You know, if you've dealt with someone for years and you know they have a good reputation and they're going to make sure that you're taken care of. Like I said, if you're a little short on collateral, you're a little short on capacity, credit may be just a tick off due to, you know, mm-hmm. some good reason. And there's reasons people have issues at times. So character can make up for
some. How do you define the capacity? I'm not familiar.
Well, your capacity is your ability to repay it.
If
you've got $20,000 in annual debt and you're showing you're making $10,000 a year, your capacity is a little short.
Capacity's not very good. Okay, gotcha. Okay, I never heard the definition of that term. And the other is collateral. Is collateral still an important thing?
Yes.
So you use that to bring the borrower into the deal. In other words, I was always told that if you have sufficient collateral and are willing to put it up, then you're committed too.
Correct.
You're as committed as much as the bank.
Yes.
So it gives you incentive.
Kind of the all we're in it together deal.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah. So, because you're right. Because something bad happens, the collateral goes out the door with you. Right.
Yes.
So you got to know. Yeah. Our guest is B. Wise, and you're getting all this advice absolutely free of charge today. we're not charging anybody for this. So what is the most exciting business category you've ever dealt with? Has there been one that's really floated your boat?
They're all unique, and they're all it's fun being able to put deals together. To kind of mix and match things and you know, make it work for someone. That's the most rewarding. And it doesn't really matter what, you know, kind of business it is, because ultimately you're kind of looking at the same things in each credit, the four C's. And the satisfaction of making something work.
So it's really not much difference if you have a retail business or a service business. The four C's and all of the criteria you use to make the loan are pretty much the same.
Pretty much.
You
got
to have cash flow to pay off a loan. You got to have, you know, stay in business. You got to be able to hire people, pay your taxes, and all that.
Yes.
Yeah. So tell me about this business plan. I can go to St. Francis or I can go to some other place to learn how to write. You say it's important. I assume that your colleagues also think it's important.
Yes.
Anybody in your business is looking for these now.
Yeah, because when you come to us with a business plan, you know, you're showing that you've put the effort in to sit down and do the homework. Mm-hmm. You know, you're just not shooting spitballs, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've done the legwork. So, right.
I have a used Jaguar store I want to start.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be a cool idea. What do you think? Yeah. Interesting. Yep. So you need a business plan. You need to be able to have some modicum of expertise with the four or five C's, where we have here four or five. Anything else we're looking for? If we're looking for somebody who wants to have a good, solid loan, I mean, they should know what they're doing. They should probably have something in this business plan that tells you they have some experience with that business.
Oh,
or does that
definitely
matter?
Like, yeah, the resume. I mean, yeah, they have to have some knowledge of the business, obviously. Right.
So you're not crazy about someone who's had a car dealership all of a sudden wants to open a hair salon.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
They could be a hell of a car salesman, but maybe they don't know anything about color.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Yes.
So if I wanted to start a business today and I was working in something and I'm good at it, it would be that business. It would make me a good candidate for this.
Yes.
Does that sound right to you?
Yes.
Yeah. So if I wanted, like if I worked at your bank and I wanted to start my own bank, that would probably be the place I'd want to go because I know most about that.
Yes.
Although that's a little tougher, I guess, than just go out and getting a loan.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of businesses around Bedford County where they've been in business a long time and the proprietor's ready to get out.
Sure.
So therefore, someone that they've had as a manager or general manager may be interested in buying it. So something like that.
And I'll bet that makes a better than average borrower.
Yes.
Because they already know not only the business, but they know that business.
Yes.
Which helps.
Yes. Yep.
I know a lot of business owners that make a point of promoting their managers into ownership that way. And that's their exit plan.
Yes.
That's their retirement plan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Our guest is Bea Wise, and Bea is the commercial loan officer and vice president commercial loan officer at Somerset Bank. And Bea, yeah, we just have a few minutes left. You got 29 more locations? Wow.
32, actually.
32.
32 branches.
So how far afield do they go? I mean,
we have Garrett County, Maryland, Bedford
County,
Cambria County, Fayette County, Somerset County, obviously, and Westmoreland County.
Boy.
We have standalone branches. We have branches in grocery stores. And
so these banks are all functional for me if I had an account here.
Yes.
So I can just use it like it was in Somerset or here in Bedford. It doesn't matter.
Correct.
So it's a true branch bank system. Not to mention you got one of the first drive-thrus. I thought that. Now, we mentioned computer banking. Can you handle some of your commercial loan transactions on the computer as well?
We have business banking, yeah. Once we, you know, we get the loans on, they can view their accounts and transfer monies and over the business banker.
Well, I wish I'd had that when I did it. That would have been great, you know.
Yes.
I can't tell you how many times I talked to my banker from a payphone.
What's a payphone?
Yeah, I know. What is a payphone? Exactly right. Well, B, you've been terrific. I want to thank you. What have I missed here? I mean, there's got to be something exciting I missed here. Nothing?
No, I think okay. You got it all, Lloyd.
Well, thank you very much. And I want to again thank Roberta. She was just tremendous in helping us prep for this show. Even though I may sound like I know something about this, I really don't. I'm just a dumb radio guy. But it's really fun to hear about this side of it. Because I've really, really actually, I don't think I've ever done a radio program on commercial loans before. So this is really very interesting. So you're a first.
Well,
this is
right.
Good. All right. Well, I want to thank Bea Wise and to wish you very, very another several years of success here. And I hope you get to 35 branches by the time next time I see you.
Okay.
Well, see to that, would you? I appreciate it. Bedford County Speaks was presented this morning by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. And by Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day. I look forward to joining you next time, right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD. Until then, enjoy your weekend. This is Lloyd Roach.
Thanks for listening to Bedford County Speaks. This program is heard every Saturday at this time over News Talk 1310 WBFD. If you would like to hear this program again, visit BedfordCountySpeaks.com and click Listen Here. Bedford County Speaks is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of News Talk 1310. If you or your organization would like to appear on the show, visit our website, BedfordCountySpeaks.com, for contact information. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.